Good evening, young disciples. Guess what? I missed you today. It was just 6 hours on the road on a Friday when all my friends are at camp is not a good idea. Remind me next time. More like, help us remind our friends not to get married in the middle of camp ever again. It's wonderful to get married, but it's terrible to get married in the middle of camp. So, I promised yesterday that today we would deal with the problem of pain. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front that this is one of the most, it is one of the most beautiful and simultaneously one of the most difficult things that we encounter. Difficult things for me to share and difficult things to be fully understood because our eyesight is indeed so finite. One of the reasons why it's difficult for me to dwell on is because in human terms, there is no easy answer. Like, I'm not going to be the guy that stands up here and tells you, oh, if you love Jesus, all your pain will go away. It's not true. Love and pain go together. Love and pain go together. When I was a small boy, I swore I would never work on an ambulance and I would never work in a hospital. And the reason why I decided, nope, those things are not for me, did not have anything to do with being afraid of blood. It was that when I saw pain, it gave me this hard knot, this ice-cold knot in my gut. Like, when I was a little boy, I couldn't even see if someone, like, banged their knee. You know, someone bangs their knee and they're just like, don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it. I'll be fine in 10 seconds, but just don't. I couldn't even look. Because if I looked and I kept looking, this knot, this icy cold thing in my gut would just keep getting stronger and stronger. And does anyone know what I'm talking about here? Okay. I don't feel that icy cold knot in my gut when someone gets hurt anymore, especially not on the ambulance, because I went to school to learn how to save lives, and so I can do something about it. Because I can do something about it, I don't feel that icy, cold knot anymore. But let me tell you something. I am a servant of the Most High God. I am a student of men. I seek to be a servant of men, and I'm an intercessor. And the four of those things combined together mean that my eyes are trained to see what totally passes by other people, what other people just don't even pay attention to. And sometimes my eyes see what other people miss. Do you know what these eyes of mine have seen this week? Some of you carry pain in your eyes. Actually, a lot of you. And sometimes that pain is most evident when we're all sitting around the table laughing and having a great time over some meal over there under some canopy. And you know what I feel when I see that? I feel an icy cold knot in my gut. And I keep eating, even if I don't feel like it particularly. And we can laugh and we can have a good time. But my reaction is the same. Same old reaction to seeing pain. And why is it so hard? Well, two reasons. Number one, I love you. That may come as a surprise to some of you because, yeah, I know a lot of people and I go a lot of places and do a lot of things. But let me tell you something. No one can struggle over souls. No one can pray for you as, no one can pray for anyone as I have prayed for you over the last 7 days and before you even got here, and not love you. I wish I had an eternity so that I could spend a lifetime just hearing your story. Because I can love you from here, but I don't have enough time. This is the thing that I'm going to love most about heaven. I'm going to get there, and there will be no lifetimes. And therefore, I can spend a lifetime with you, and 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 you. And never get tired of hearing your stories, of laughing together, of crying together. That is what my soul longs for. I love you. And because I love you, I have this knot. When I look across the table and I see pain in your eyes, you know why? Because I can't do anything about it. Because there is sin in the world. And as long as there is sin in the world, there will be pain in the world. Because we live in a shattered universe. We serve a God whose heart is broken. Because he doesn't want to say goodbye. He dreads goodbye with the same dread that I feel for Sunday. And half of his kids, more than half of his kids, won't come to him in the first place. Not until sin is fully slain will God's own heart be healed of pain. And until God's heart is healed of pain, you and I are not going to escape it. Now that sounds like doom and gloom. It's not. Because while I cannot promise you that I have tonight the antidote for pain, we can fix all the pain problems right now, I can tell you that the Word of God reveals, as will be revealed later tonight, that our pain can become our greatest treasure. And a treasure not just to us, but a treasure also to the world. Now then, I promised you last night also that we were going to tie a bow on what we talked about yesterday, obedience. We'll do that very briefly, and then we're going to fly. Three requests. Listen, think, and pray. Bow your heads, I'm going to pray for myself. Holy Father, unlock a beauty tonight before our eyes that we can scarce understand. Please lift our eyes, lift our souls above this stormy sea that is the life we live. And help us to cling on to the invisible and live out the unconditional. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We unconditionally belong to unconditional love, which gives us unconditional hope, calls for unconditional praise, and empowers us to unconditional obedience. Three brief questions about this obedience thing. Remember, we are saved by grace. Grace is a gift of God. It has nothing to do with us, nothing to do with effort, nothing to do with merit. It is a gift given freely just because he can. And we grow through obedience. And obedience, it has this little spark that's called choice. Do you know why? And do you know why even that choice is a gift from God? Because not only has God poured himself out to give us all the energy needed to grow, for a seed to become a plant. Not only is that all God's energy, but also the freedom to decide. We're born in bondage, thanks to our choices from centuries past, the freedom even to choose life was purchased for us by blood. So yeah, we have to exercise a choice, but we wouldn't even have a choice were it not for grace. Grace, 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 grace. This last little thing called choose. Will or will I not cooperate with grace? That is the essence of obedience. So why is it hard to obey? Three reasons from my experience. Number one, we don't trust love. My immediate question following up that statement would be, why? What did he do to deserve that? Oh, he cracked open all of heaven and emptied it out like an egg for our nourishment. Then he broke his own family. He broke it, shattered his own self into pieces, sent his son out, then turned his back and threw you and I the rope. And we still don't trust love. Sorry, but that doesn't make any sense. And yet, when I'm faced with the choice, the struggle is real. Will or will I not trust the hand that was nailed to the cross for me? Trust the hand that threw out the rope to me instead of his beloved? Why? Because they loved me more than they loved themselves. We don't trust love. Number two, we are afraid to die. Afraid to die. Actually, I'm going to challenge this one. We say we're afraid to die. I don't think any human is actually afraid to die. What we are afraid of, some people are afraid of what happens after death. What we Christians are afraid of is not to die, but ceasing to live. We don't want to not live anymore. Maybe because we don't want to miss out, or because we don't want to, what, have fun. And so, because we fear not living anymore, fear dying, we hesitate when we are faced with a choice, life or death. God is calling, and then there's some other option over here. We hesitate, thinking, if I serve God, I'm not going to live anymore. If I serve God, I'm not going to have fun anymore. If I serve God, I'm not going to, you fill in the blank. When all the while, our failure to serve God means we're not living. We're dying. How does that work? This one doesn't make sense either. We're afraid not to live, and so we run away from life. Where I come from, that's called dying. Reason number three, we consult the consequences. Like a dozen times a day, I am faced with, again, a choice, the call of God to my spirit, or my own way. And when I'm faced with that choice, I pause to ponder. Well, if I do this, it will cost me this. If I obey my mother right now, it will cost me my convenience. It will cost me laying out, splayed out on my comfortable bed, reading this book with my cat asleep beside me. Okay, wonderful. If I obey God right now, it will cost me this website, which is actually destroying me. If I obey God right now, it will cost me some kind of pleasure, comfort, or convenience. We stop to ponder the consequences. And you know what that means? It means all day long we're in a struggle. Because rather than deciding and being done, at every step, we have to fight again. Shall I, shall I not? Shall I, shall I not? Shall I, shall I not? Who wants to live their life in perpetual struggle? Answer me that. Not I, said the small fry. I want to be done. Every step becomes a battle because we let every step become a battle. Who wants that kind of life? What's the solution? Two things. Store these in your mind or write them on your paper. Number one, behold the loving Lamb of God. We hesitate to obey because we don't believe that love is, in fact, love. The solution is we need to turn our eyes from everything that lies about the Lord of glory. Turn our eyes away from our smartphones. Turn our eyes away from our iPods. Turn away our eyes from our Facebook. Turn away our eyes even from our friends. Listen to me, my friends. Listen to me. Your friends, as good as they are, will never. Association with or conversations with or fun times with your friends will never leave you at the end of the day feeling more complete or more fulfilled. That's not what friends are for. We feel emptiness, we fill it with stuff. If we have emptiness, there's one way to fill it. Everything else is a lie. Behold the loving Lamb of God. If we were to spend more time realizing the enormity of the sacrifice, not only would we trust the hand that was nailed to the cross for us, we would follow him out of love. the solution. Behold the Lamb. Behold the loving Lamb of God. Solution number two, count the cost once. When we get up in the morning, this is one of the reasons why we have morning devotions. Because when we get up in the morning, we have a choice to make. Will I live for God today or will I not? Now then, I have to make a clarification here. God never holds you to a promise in the sense that if you say, I'm going to serve God, nope, you're stuck. You told me. The devil does that, by the way. The minute you give him an inch, he takes a mile and then he puts chains on you. Not so with the Lord of glory. He says, you may come. Love you. I'd love to hold you. And the minute you squirm, he'll let you go. We study our Bibles in the morning because that is the time when we should be falling on our face before holy God and saying, take my life. I cannot give it. Take my heart. I cannot give it. It's your property. Use me today in your service. Abide with me. Let all my works be wrought in thee. Why? So that when I am faced with 10,000 inconvenient temptations all day long, I can be like, we already discussed this morning. Thank you. God will not hold you to you have to serve me. He will not hold you to a pledge of allegiance, so to speak. You know what my suggestion would be? Hold yourself to it. When you, by the grace of God, obviously, when you wake up in the morning, decide. Count the cost, yes. Count the cost. Do I want to serve Lord of Glory today, even including all that will entail about self-denial? Or do I want to serve myself? If your choice is serve Lord of Glory, my suggestion would be stick with that one all day. It's infinitely easier than making the decision 100 times every time you're faced with a new thing. Nobody wants to live a life in perpetual and continual struggle. It is a stubborn, unreasonable predetermination to rest in the hands of Almighty God that gives us the power to rise above circumstances. And that includes our present circumstances and our past circumstances as well. I told you a little bit earlier that it is the triumph of the Christian faith that it suffers its people to suffer and be strong. It is the triumph of the Christian faith that we act on these unconditionals regardless of what the world or our experience or our life looks like going on around us. In no case is this more true than when we suffer. I have a little friend that lives half a world away. She's 13 or 14 years old. I don't remember when her birthday is. And she has blonde hair and pretty blue eyes. And she has dreams, just like any other 13 or 14-year-old girl. But in one sense, she's a little bit different. Because due to an innocent mistake made before she was even born, she has, from her earliest days, lived in constant and agonizing pain. She's endured countless surgeries. She'll be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of her life, however long that life is. Might be. And she's handy as a pocket knife with that wheelchair. And she could probably beat most of the boys here in an arm wrestle without breaking a sweat. But she's falling apart everywhere else. Her little life is coming unraveled. And it breaks me every time I see her because it's not right. It's messed up for a 13-year-old girl to be breaking down before she's even grown up. It's messed up for a little girl to be living in constant pain. But you know what the other part of me thinks? The greater part? Do you know what I think of first when I think of her? Do you know what I remember most clearly when I remember her? It's her little smile. It may be the most beautiful smile I've ever seen on any human being anywhere. Because it is beautiful. Or maybe it's just that it frames a face that is often twisted in pain. It is framed in a face that's often twisted in pain. Her life isn't fair. She would be the first one to tell you that. Now, she wouldn't tell you, actually. She'd be the first one to know it. But something in her life has given her a grace, a buoyancy, a tenacity that those who have never suffered like she has probably will never understand. I have another friend born under similar circumstances. He's younger than I am. He's already had 2 hip replacements and countless other surgeries. And do you know that that boy is one of the noblest, gentlest, kindest people I know? A couple weeks ago, I was on a river trip with a couple friends, one of which, teenage girl, is a type 1 diabetic. And as I was watching her for the 5th time taking her blood sugar, I thought, how inconvenient. I mean, you and I, honestly, we're inconvenienced by hunger, right? But if we're hungry, we eat. And then we complain because we're hungry, and then we eat too much, and then we complain because we're full. I want you to venture a guess. Do you think I ever heard this friend of mine complain? About anything? Never. I could go on and on and on and on and on. I'm not going to. Here's my point. All of the most beautiful people I know have had their lives framed and purified by fire. All of the most beautiful people I know have been made what they are by suffering. Some have endured physical pain, others have endured loss, some have endured emotional torture, others have been abused, others have been abandoned, others don't know their real parents, others have no real parents. And some of them are sitting in this circle. Listen to me. I don't know what makes your heart throb in the silence, but I love you, and because I love you, I care. And I'm a friend of many, and as I told you, I would spend a lifetime, if I had a lifetime, getting to know each and every one of your stories. But if I, who after just a week, feel this constant heart longing to share your story, to laugh with you, to cry with you, how much more, holy God, who knows more about you than you know about yourself. I would love to share your story, but I don't pretend to know. I'm not going to stand here and say, I know exactly what it feels like. No. And I'm not going to be the person that stands up in front of you and says, just do this, this, and this, and all the pain, poof, will go away. Pain is real, you guys. Pain is real, and fear is real, and shame is real, and rejection is real. These are all realities that are part of the human family, and we as a human race, spend our entire lives running away from them. What I am telling you is this. You may find yourself in lowest hell. Listen to me. You may find yourself in lowest hell. You can find God there too. Pain for God right now is an unavoidable reality because he loves. And for his children, if understood rightly, it is an honor and a privilege. I used to think it wasn't fair. I remember, in fact, one dark night wrestling long into the night and long into the hours of mourning, praying for a particular set of friends that had no father. I remember crying out to God saying, Lord, I am trying to introduce beautiful young people to your beautiful person, but they have no father, they have no reference point, and if they have an unbenevolent father or an unbenevolent parent, so much the worse. How are they supposed to be able to believe in a God that is love when they've only ever been shown conditional affection from human sources around them? Something is going to have to happen to make this fair. Something is going to have to happen to level the playing field. And do you know what it was that Lord of Glory whispered, not literally, but whispered into my conscience at that moment? It was as if he said, "Watch this. Watch them." Do you know who it is that convinced me that God is especially good in the fire? Do you know who it is that convinced me that God has a nobler purpose at heart when he allows pain to run its course? Do you know who it is that convinced me that those who find themselves in the fire have more to give to humanity than those who have always lived in the sunshine? Do you know? You. You beautiful people, and others very much like you. Still burns, though, I'm not going to lie. Let me tell you what I've learned. I learned through a season of suffering all my own and through walking with others through the flames that pain is an advantage. Listen to me. Pain is an advantage just as surely as having the perfect parents. There are a lot of reasons for that, and I will tell you a few of the most significant ones. Number one, pain causes us to realize our hunger, which is a gift because we're all dying of hunger. But those who have no awareness are numb, and they're not eating. We who are hungry, we scramble for food. And in that very scramble for food, spiritual and otherwise, we find life. Those who do not feel it, do not seek it, will not get it, and will die. The season of my life when my pillow was wet with tears every night for 2 years. In no other season of my life was my searching more earnest. And let me tell you something. In no other season of my life was the feast more beautiful or plentiful from my Father's table. I often long to go back. In fact, I find myself time and time again in a place where I cry and plead to God to take me, if necessary, back to the fire so that I can feel his nearness right here, so that I can know what it is to walk with Jesus as if we were inseparable. Pain causes us to realize our hunger. Blessing number one. Mark it down if this is your story. Number two, pain increases our compassion and sensitivity. There is a lot of pain in the world, and only those who have truly experienced it, who live with it on a day-to-day basis, can really understand not just the pain, but understand the people who deal with it. And if you can, if it is your place to understand, then you can make a difference. If you have a choice, my friend, to serve hurting people for the rest of your life or to serve happy ones, by all means, pick the hurting ones. Why? Because they want help. Which means you can actually help them. Pain causes us to realize our hunger, and it increases our compassion and sensitivity. Number three, pain broadens and completes our understanding. When throbbing is the constant reality, we are somewhat forced to make one of two choices. We learn to either look beyond ourselves or become entirely self-absorbed. Other people can, you know, hang out in the middle. But when a person is in pain, we have to do one of two things. Entirely neglect ourselves and focus on other people, or we get completely and utterly self-absorbed. My friends that I told you about, they decided to look beyond themselves, every one of them. And as a result, they have brought more light to the world in their short lives, even though their bodies are racked with pain, than you and I may have an opportunity to do in a lifetime. Pain causes us to realize our hunger, it increases our compassion and sensitivity, it broadens our understanding, and it puts us in sympathy with the heart of God, which is the highest privilege granted to humanity. your pain, whatever it is, that pain etched on your face, even that I can see, that I have seen and that I can see even from here. I know a little about it. God knows a lot about it. He feels it more completely, more fully than you feel it yourself. He feels yours and mine, and yours and yours and yours and yours. And remember, God stands at the head of a broken family, a shattered family just now, a family shattered by sin, and he has to watch the whole thing unfold because he values our choice, right? He's not going to force us like we were talking about a few minutes ago. Those who have really experienced pain can understand and enter into the heart of God that is constantly paining over his children. They can choose to identify with God, and this is the deepest level of friendship that exists. Pain causes us to realize our hunger. It increases our compassion and sensitivity. It broadens our understanding. It puts us in sympathy with the heart of God. And lastly, pain and suffering specifically, is the means by which the gospel goes to the nations. When we, through the midst of pain, cling to the confidence in the almighty and benevolent God, people on the outside of the circle, people who don't understand what it is to be held by infinite God, they look in and say, "What is going on with this person?" This is how the world knows, my friends, how much God is worth. When his children cling to him, even through tears. I should clarify. Pain is not sent by God. Pain is a result of the reign of evil and the reign of sin. Sometimes my sin, sometimes somebody else's sin, and I have to suffer for it. In any case, God does not cause it. He allows it. What we must remember is this. If you hear nothing else tonight, hear me now. Pain is not a roadblock to God. Pain is not a roadblock to God. It can, in fact, be a shortcut. This is why love will always win. We unconditionally belong to unconditional love, which brings us unconditional hope, causes us to unconditionally praise, empowers us to unconditional obedience, and strengthens us with unconditional courage, even in the fire, mostly in the fire. My prayer for myself and my prayer for you is that the pain that we confront in life will drive us towards our master, and that we will offer our lives up on the altar and find in whatever he allows the gift that is hidden there. Just like the most beautiful, most buoyant, most gracious, most gentle people I know. I told you, not easy. There isn't an easy answer unless you can look beyond today to tomorrow. Then it all makes sense. I'm going to finish tonight by singing a song. Which I believe will be all of ours. But tonight, it's just my gift to you.
Servant, Lord, all along. been guiding me, shaping my life to be a beautiful song. All along you led me through things that you knew would make me strong. Your love has been there all along. Joy and pain had a reason of its own. Now I realize that I was not alone. The changing seasons of my life were not left up to chance. Lord, I know you were working to fulfill your plan. All along, your hand has been guiding me and shaping my life to be a beautiful song. All along, you've led me through things that you knew would make me strong. Been there all along. Tomorrow when I turn around and look back at today, I will understand your purpose and my thankful heart will say, all along your hand has been guiding me, my life to be a beautiful song. All along you've led me through things that you knew would make me strong. Your love has been there all along. Has been there all along.
How good you are, Holy Father, to offer your hand in the dark. That knot in my gut that's there right now, what a comfort it is to know that I share it with the largest heart in the universe. What a comfort it is that though I cannot physically, possibly hear every story around this fire tonight, we can be family. And when we get to the other side, we can share those stories and finish becoming friends from an entirely new perspective. Open our eyes to see the faithfulness and love of Holy God tonight. That is my simple prayer. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.